On News Radio 600, KOGO.
All right, welcome back to our community forum, and welcome to Brad Freeman, a freelance writer. He's a citizen blogger and all-around troublemaker, he says, on his website at bradfreeman.com. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Roger, how are you?
I'm doing well. Now, you have really raised an interesting issue, because I've been opposed to the Diebold machines, too, that the Diebold machines, the voting machines, could actually, because we don't know, have affected the outcome of the Bill Busby race. What are you saying?
Yeah, we've got a very serious situation here. As it turns out, it was recently discovered beginning back in December of 2005 that these machines that everyone suspected were highly tamperable, in fact, it was proven that they were, and California Secretary of State commissioned a study, sort of an emergency study, because he was about to certify these machines up at UC Berkeley. They came back. They said, yeah, this hack that occurred down in Florida is very real. The one that flipped an election, by the way, without a trace being left behind, on paper ballot, Diebold optical scan, mind you. So they put in very...
Now, this was not Gore Bush, though.
It was not Gore Bush.
Yeah.
It was essentially a test election saying,
yeah,
can Diebold machines be hacked via their memory cards? And they had a small vote. Eight people voted. Six people said no. Two people said yes. They took those paper ballots, ran them through the Diebold optical scanner, and guess what? One person said no, seven people said yes.
Wow.
The election was flipped. There was no trace left behind, save for those paper ballots and counting them. That was sort of the first step, and it put both the Secretary of State and the federal body responsible for determining certification into an emergency session, if you will, and both parties issued these security mitigation requirements that would be needed for the use of any Diebold machine, OptScan or touchscreen, because all these machines contain this type of code which was banned at the federal level. These machines never should have been certified nationally, Roger. Yet they were, and they said, okay, fine, you can use them as long as you do these very specific security measures. Since then, what we found out was it was way worse than we thought. Apparently, with less than two minutes of unsupervised physical access to these machines, you can change the entire software on a touchscreen machine, the operating system, the election software, even the computer BIOS themselves, with no password needed. Now, if you change one machine, that change can then affect every other machine in the election. It's a startling vulnerability, which is why it's been covered now on NPR, on Newsweek, New York Times. Lou Dobbs has been all over the issue for the past week and a half.
Now, these touchscreen ones, though, we have not yet used in San Diego, right?
Oh, yes, you have. Bad news for you, Roger. You guys, in fact, in this last election, on June 6th, it was mostly Diebold optical scans, which, again, are hackable in that same fashion.
No, I understand. I used the one where I marked the oval, you know, I had to fill in the oval,
yeah,
and then put it through the... But the touch screen we didn't use.
Well, you had one at your polling place. You may not have used it. It was there for disabled access, and they weren't encouraging a lot of folks to use it.
Ah.
That's the good news. The bad news is, with all of these security mitigation requirements that were required for these machines, for the use of these machines, the San Diego County Registrar, Michael Haas, is incredible, sent these machines home with poll workers in the days and weeks prior to this election. Now, you know, you had that special election down there with millions of dollars from both sides, you know, people fighting over this. They sent these machines home with poll workers, breaking all of the security mitigation requirements, which, if they were not followed, immediately decertified the use of those machines. In other words, your special election in San Diego was just run on 100% decertified voting machines.
All right, Brad Freeman, bradblog.com. Now, Brad, did you guys do any exit, or did anybody do any exit polling or anything that, you know, a la Ohio, that would have led to a different result than was certified?
Well, as you know, in Ohio, when they had exit polls that said one thing, folks generally ignored those. But in fact, the Secretary of State had, I understand, money set aside to do his own parallel monitoring of that election on June 6th, and at the last minute, about a week before the election, for reasons that I've yet to be able to learn, they canceled the plans for parallel monitoring. It's pretty frightening, and let me just underscore all of this by saying on that same day, last Tuesday, up in Iowa, they had two different elections in two Republican primaries where the very popular incumbent in both cases came in last place after the paper ballots were scanned on the optical scan system. The election director thought, well, this doesn't seem right. They hand-counted those paper ballots, and they found that in both cases, the popular incumbent who had thought they had lost actually won the race when they bothered to hand-count the ballots.
So somebody monkeyed with it.
Well, we don't know. It could be an error in the ballot programming. Somebody could have monkeyed with it. There's all sorts of reasons, which is why they put in these serious mitigation requirements.
Now, Brad Friedman with us now. Brad, in the old days, say 20 years ago, we had also counters. You went in and you filled out your ballot. You filled in the bubble or what have you. And then it went through the optical scanner. It wasn't Diebold. It was a previous generation of these machines. Nobody ever had any problem with those. They appeared to work okay as counters. In other words, instead of physically counting each ballot, having somebody do it, and again, that raises issues of the integrity of that somebody, but having these machines do it, we did that, and there never was a problem. Is this just Diebold, or is it all these machines?
Well, in fact, it's now all of these machines, because remember, now they're hooked up via network, wireless networking, the Internet. All
so they're digital. The problem is they went digital.
Yeah. that not only did they go digital, but they did so using the old paradigm, because, you know, they used to send home those voting machines, and storing them in someone's car and garage and everything else wasn't really a problem because you couldn't really do anything to affect the election, or if you did, it would be on that machine only and it would be easily found. It's no longer the case.
What does Michael Haas say when you ask him about why he let these people take the machines home?
I asked him, you know, would you consider that secure? And he said, no, storage in cars would not be considered secure. So I read to him what the federal body says about the certification, and I said, so you're admitting then that these were therefore uncertified when you did not store them securely, as they very specifically say. He says, no, I'm not saying that. I said, well, let me read you what you just said. And he said, well, it's not, storing in cars is not the most secure.
Oh, boy.
And I asked them then, because they're also supposed to put these security seals all over them, again, in wake of the stuff that we found. They didn't put the security seals on all the places they needed to, and I said, you know, can you use this slot and this power switch to change the software on the computers? And he said, well, it's improbable. And I said, well, what do you mean improbable? Is it possible or not? He said, well, to do that, they'd have to be willing to commit a felony, which knocks out most of our poll workers here in San Diego.
Well, Brad Friedman, let me look at it another way. I mean, I'm with you on all this stuff. These machines are not reliable. You know, anybody who has an 11-year-old child knows they're not reliable. Are you saying, however, that Busby could have won?
I'm saying, frankly, we have no idea who won. There is no way, and Michael Haas, the registrar, could not prove to you at this moment who won the race. And the burden is on him to show that he ran an accurate election. It's not on you or me or anybody else, you know, to say, there was fraud or this.
So you're not saying that you're not saying Busby won.
I'm saying I have no idea, and no, it is impossible to know unless these ballots are hand counted. Period.
Now, there was a period of time under the state law when a challenge could have been made in that regard, and it wasn't made.
No, a challenge may still be made, and emergency town halls are now being convened for next Tuesday in L.A., Wednesday in San Diego, and hopefully a press conference to announce such a legal initiative, perhaps.
What I'm saying is there's a statutory period after the election where you can challenge, Busby maybe has to do it, challenge the accuracy of the count and demand a recount by hand. You can actually ask for that.
That's correct.
That was never asked for.
And that window is still open. There's a certain question about whether anybody, Busby, or any citizen can ask, a California citizen can ask for such a recount.
So are you going to ask for it?
We're looking at the legal options because they can charge us whatever we want, and our contention is, you know, you guys didn't count the election in the first place, So why do we have to raise, you know, $150,000 to count the damn ballots? I mean,
now I bet you've seen in voiceofsandiego.org Matt O'Connor's explanation of why Busby lost, and that is that the liberal voters didn't turn out.
Well, what's his evidence for that?
Now, I know. Well, his evidence is the turnout, which was, let's see, there are 104,000 registered Democrats in the 50th Congressional District. Our candidate received just 459,000 votes. So by implication, there's, 46,000, whatever it is, that stayed home and shouldn't have. 45,000-plus registered Democrats didn't bother to vote, and he's blaming them.
Well, you can always go after an election. You can always come up with all sorts of reasons. I suspect had the announced results on election night been the opposite, Matt Cox or anybody else would have had all kinds of reasons why Bill Bray lost. You know, the fact is I'm not, and Frank, I don't actually care who won or lost. I care that the person who received the most votes won or lost. And I got to add to you, Roger, some very strange behavior. About 4 days after the election, mind you, it has still to this day not yet been certified, but before the votes were even done counting, all the absentees and everything else, the Republicans rushed Bill Bray out to D.C. and swore him in. He made his first speech on the floor of the House. He's made votes since then. The guy has still not been sworn in by the state of California, Roger.
And no, that's true, but the Congress has the right to do that. They would have to redo it if the certification came in differently. I agree with that. I mean, he was sworn in, and they actually, Dreyer introduced him and said, you know, we're expecting the certification, but until then, the guy gets sworn in to act for that district.
Well, I would suggest that, you know, we stick to the rule of law on these things, and I think we're facing a serious electoral crisis in our country. This is the only federal race in play. We're going to have 435 of these on the same day come November, and every single primary election we have had so far this year, Roger, has been an unmitigated disaster, starting in Texas, right on up to California and Iowa, the thing I mentioned as well.
Yeah. All right.
Every one of them has had challenges. They affect Democrats. They affect Republicans. Hundreds of thousands of votes are showing up out of nowhere. Machines aren't starting up. This is the first year that the so-called Help America Vote Act kicks in. And so these machines, $3.8 billion, your federal tax money, is going to put out these untested machines that use secret software that are run by private companies, whether it's a right-wing company like Diebold, a left-wing company. You know, they charge that the Sequoia is now being run by Hugo Chavez.
Right. It's owned by him.
This is, well, it's not out-and-out owned by him, but it underscores the point that, you know, these are our public elections, for crying out loud. And
What would you like to see, Brad? Would you like to see go back, just hand count these things?
No, I think there's a way to have a paper ballots with open-source software that anybody in the world can inspect, transparency, paper ballots that are optically scanned and then audited a certain percentage to make sure you have some certainty that you've got an accurate result. It's easy to do, Roger.
Brad, I actually agree with you, and I would be even more hardcore about it. I believe that because this voting thing, to me, is so sacred in the secular sense, that we should have the old-fashioned, forget the digital and all that, the old-fashioned counter should be there, you know, the analog counter, and you can't monkey with it. It's a punch counter. It goes through and it reads the thing on a basis that cannot be messed with.
Well, I suspect, you know, Roger, that you and I may disagree on a lot of things politically, because I follow your show, but I'm glad to see that in this case, we're talking about electoral integrity, that, you know, it's not about right and left. This is about right and wrong, common sense, our bedrock of our democracy. And, hey, I hope you'll come out to this town meeting. Bring as many folks as you can. I'd love for you to speak.
Where is it in San Diego?
I think it's going to be in Oceanside. We're firming up the
all right.
Time.
Well, keep me informed, Brad.
I will indeed.
Okay. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Brad Friedman, bradfriedman.com, and his blog at bradblog.com. And again, very liberal left-wing guy, but I think he's onto something in this case. In fact, I know he is. And that is that we now have allowed a system of counting our votes to be presented to us as a system that does it accurately when it is manifestly been proven that it can be monkeyed with. and the results tampered. It seems to me if we have any bedrock notion in this country, it ought to be that the votes ought to be fairly and fully counted. I just think that's, wow, if we can't agree on that one, this country's farther down the division road than I think we are. All right, I'm Roger Hedgecock, 422 KOGO Wartime. Let's check our headlines now. In the Kogo newsroom, here's Marilyn Hyder.